Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. For the next 4 episodes, I'll be talking all things pregnancy with a different guest each week. And today, we'll focus on the first and second trimesters.
Like, the hormonal change is so big in our bodies. And we kind of don't really, like, you kind of just go through it every day. But it can bring so much with it.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, it's so true. Like, some people can feel the best they've ever felt in their lives when they're pregnant. They love their pregnancy body. Other people hate their pregnancy body, but feel ashamed to say that or feel guilty to say it because they're like, but I'm so lucky that I'm pregnant. You know, but it's really important to acknowledge those feelings, because it is okay to not love your pregnancy body.
Yeah.
But also, but still love the baby that you're growing.
In this episode, I speak to Lucianne Hughes, also known as the Sunshine Doula. She's married to Chris and they have 2 girls, Daisy, who's 4, and Poppy, who's 2. And in this conversation, she takes us from the moment you find out you're pregnant to the end of the second trimester. We talk about the physical, mental and emotional symptoms of pregnancy, the importance of correct supplementation, what to avoid, what to do, birthing options and the choices available to you, and lots more. Here it is. So when you pee on that stick and you find out you're preggers, for those who have planned the pregnancy, it's obviously a joyous moment. If you haven't, it might be a confusing time.
Yeah.
So it depends on everybody's personal situation. But it is certainly a life-changing moment, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. And I always laugh about this because, you know, you spend your teenage years / 20s peeing on a stick and going, Jesus, I really hope it's, you know, and then all of a sudden it is positive and you're like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I don't think I'm ready for this, do you know, because there's been such a focus on not getting pregnant than you are. And then, it's such a life changing moment. And there's so much that goes with it, all the emotion and everything like that. So it's full on.
I'm just thinking of all the different people who perhaps will be listening to this episode and their own experiences. They're bringing their own experience to the table when they're listening to this. And it's so varied, because I certainly know what it's like to be pregnant for the very first time, which was 4 years ago when I was pregnant with Cathal. I also know what it's like to be pregnant again after that, and for it to result in a loss.
Yeah.
And again after that, and it to result in a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And now find myself pregnant for the 4th time, and now at 29 weeks pregnant, I'm full of excitement, but I'm definitely far more aware than I ever was first time round, because the landscape has changed so, so much. So
absolutely. If you find yourself pregnant and you haven't been taking folic acid or you haven't been taking a prenatal multivit, like, it doesn't matter. You can start now and you can carry that forward and it's absolutely fine. Ideally, if you are trying to conceive, it's great to, you know, think ahead and to start taking folate and your multivitamin, you know, because that, it just really helps.
And also nowadays, a lot of foods are fortified, aren't they?
Yes.
I'm a big believer in supplementation as well as a good, you know, balanced diet.
Absolutely, me too. And I'm big into multivitamins and vitamins and supplements to help us throughout our fertility and through the whole of pregnancy. It's so, so important. You know, the study of epigenetics is fascinating. And that's basically the study of our behaviours and our environment, which can cause changes that affect the way our genes work. So things like stresses, toxins, external kind of stresses as well, can actually imprint the genes with these tags. But what we eat throughout pregnancy and how we nurture ourselves through that and through the pregnancy can change that, and they can take it away, you know, take those tags away. So it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. I'm not qualified enough nearly to go into it in full detail, but it's really, really interesting. And it just means that, you know, any of those things that have happened to us, we can actually make a change to it and not carry it through to the next generation.
So we have been assuming we've been, you know, eating well, balanced and taking supplementation if we need it. So we've ticked that box. In terms of products, because it can be a wash with so many different brands and it can be a bit like, oh God, I don't know where to go. I think find people who are experienced. So a lot of people that work in health shops actually are very experienced in terms of knowing which brands, I suppose, have less crap in them, for want of a better description.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? So you'll have some that might have a shiny package but might be full of bulking agents and binders and fillers and stuff that really your body doesn't need. So going for clean, pure products is always the way forward, isn't
Absolutely. It? Absolutely. Oh, I 100% agree. And, you know, like, you can't put a price on your health, that kind of thing. I know. But like, if it's the difference between a couple of euro, go for the one that doesn't have the additives and the bulking agents and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, you can see it by looking at the ingredients in the box.
And that's the thing. I mean, look, that's one of my things. When I did nutrition and lifestyle coaching, my goal was to get everybody looking at labels in everything.
Yeah.
As in the supermarket, like picking up a thing of prepared fruit will have a load of sugar in it a lot of the times, you know. And so it's just that awareness of, like, actually picking up the ingredients and having a look and just kind of seeing, is that necessary? I don't think so, you know. Yeah. And there's a couple of things. So, like, magnesium is a massive one. I'm a firm believer in magnesium. And I'll talk about it probably a bit with the kind of symptoms of pregnancy. But magnesium is a great reliever of stress. And what happens when we are stressed is that our body uses up a lot more magnesium, and that can cause things like cramps or headaches, or, like, even, you know, before you're pregnant, when you have your period pains, all that kind of stuff. So magnesium is really good, whether you take it orally or you can use the sprays or creams as well. People say, they get, my mom calls it jelly legs or kind of jittery legs. That's a real sign of a lack of magnesium. But yeah, it's something that I firmly believe is very necessary through our whole lives, especially when we're pregnant as well.
And safe to take in pregnancy. There's obviously different forms of magnesium as well in the market. So
there are. So just talk to whoever you're getting it from. Absolutely. And the amounts differ for everybody. So if you take too much of it, you can end up having the runs. So you don't want that to happen. And if you do, all you do is just take it back a bit. So take less. And then, that's how you kind of know if you've taken too much.
Because it also can be a little bit, I know for me personally, I am very cautious about, I certainly was, particularly 4 years ago when I was pregnant with my little boy, about taking anything until I found out for sure, is this safe?
Yeah.
Be it a cream I was putting on my skin or, you know, something I was eating or whatever it was, if it was going anywhere near my body, I'd need to know, is this safe? And it's good to be like that. Okay, you can be almost too extreme as well.
Yeah.
But I think look, a lot of good labelling will let you know if it is safe to take while pregnant or breastfeeding and that kind of thing as well. Brilliant. So magnesium and folate, we know they're two Big ones. Any other
prenatal vitamins are great. Yeah, and like all-rounder. An all-rounder is something that's really like that has a good balance of kind of vitamins and minerals. And again, ask in your health food store, you know, which ones they'd recommend. And vitamin D, very important. Obviously, in Ireland, we don't get as much. I mean, we've had a bit of sun this summer, but we don't get half enough. In our everyday lives, so it is important to take that. I mean, I take it every day. My kids take it every day. So in pregnancy, it's super important as well.
And also now during these COVID times, we know that it, COVID basically doesn't really like vitamin D.
It doesn't like vitamin D at all.
So it's a good thing to have kind of boosted up in your system as well.
Absolutely.
Let's move on now to all the symptoms. Those wonderful.
So many.
So many. And again, it's so unique and different for every woman.
It is.
So we have our physical symptoms. We have our mental and emotional symptoms. So let's start with the physical ones.
Yes.
Yeah, a whole heap of them.
There is a whole heap of them. I mean, we've a list here and I kind of put it out there last night, actually, on my stories. And it was quite interesting that most people came back with the two kind of most common were like nausea and exhaustion.
Yeah.
So the nausea is nasty. It's just awful. It's that feeling of, you know, feeling really sick, but not getting sick. Some people do get sick and it can lead, like the extreme version, obviously being hyperemesis gravidarium. And that is really rotten, where you'd be getting sick at least four times a day.
And that's throughout the pregnancy.
Throughout the pregnancy. It can stop. It can, with everyone, it's different. Some people have it. Like some people have nausea for the first 9 weeks, 12 weeks. Some people carry it the whole way through their pregnancy. And it's just that alone is exhausting. On top of any kind of pregnancy exhaustion, do you know? Anything ginger is meant to really, really help. There's kind of ginger lozenges, ginger teas, ginger biscuits. You know, a case of, I know people who've just carried like ginger biscuits in their, ginger snaps in their bag. Or the lozenges, you know, there's these ginger lozenges as well that you can get. Again, you'd probably get them in a health food store.
Yeah.
Gingins, I think they're called. People have found them really helpful.
And then I suppose first thing in the morning, the tip I always heard was to have like a dry cracker or a Bicky or something by the bed in the morning. Because for a lot of women, if they do suffer from morning sickness, or all day sickness, as the case is for a lot of women, that, you know, first thing when you wake up, that's when it might hit you as well.
Yes.
But actually putting a small amount of food into your system helped.
Yeah, and something really plain and dry, like you said, like a cracker or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really unpleasant and it's really unfair. Mm. But it's a really good sign. You know, it's a really good sign that the hormone levels are there.
It's reassuring in that way. Now, on the other side, because I remember I didn't really have, I had a little bit more this time around, but I didn't really have it when I was pregnant with my little boy. And everybody said, you know, would say it's a good sign. I'd be getting paranoid then going, but if I don't have it, is that?
I know.
So everyone is different.
Absolutely. And you're so right to mention that because this is a whole case of, you know, one person can sail through pregnancy with absolutely not a symptom at all and have a perfectly fine pregnancy and you know, labor and everything. So and then somebody else might have it for the whole pregnancy. So it is so really individual, you know,
so
we're
individual.
All so unique and individual anyway. And another couple of things for nausea, there are these acupressure wristbands that you can get.
Oh, yeah.
They can help. Pulsatilla is a homeopathy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Homeopathic thing that you can take. And again, magnesium and vitamin B6. Then exhaustion. Yeah, the exhaustion is very real. Like, I don't know if you had it.
I still do.
And still do.
I mean, it's after ramping up, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
In the last week or two, I'm feeling like, you know, every hour I just want to nap.
I know. And like the joy with my first pregnancy, I could nap, do you know, whereas
that's
now,
it,
like second and third, you can't. But my point there would be, if you do have the opportunity and you can't do it, like sleep when you need to. I was never a napper. Oh my God, I love those naps, you know.
Especially in those early weeks, your body is going through massive, massive changes.
Yeah.
Even though to somebody on the outside, they wouldn't even know you're pregnant.
That's the thing.
But it's phenomenal when
and
you start to look at what's happening hormonally and all the rest that goes with it.
Absolutely. So much happens in those first few weeks. And like that, it's really hard because a lot of people don't, you know, don't talk about their pregnancy until 12 weeks. We have, that's quite common in Ireland. I was always kind of a believer that, you know, look, I'm going to tell people because if anything does happen, they're the people who are going to help me back up again, you know.
Yeah, so, I told people as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, it's again, with everything, it's totally personal. But it is hard when people don't know what's going on and you're having those symptoms and you feel so wrecked and you're saying no to things because you just couldn't fathom going out on a night out or whatever, you know. The tender swollen breasts.
Yes.
That was one of the ways I knew I was pregnant.
Absolutely.
That is a really obvious kind of sign and really delicate and kind of sensitive nipples. That I just like remember walking through the freezer section of the supermarket and being like, oh!
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good sign as well.
Okay, brilliant.
Not pleasant. then there's food aversions and cravings. You know, I didn't really have any, I have to say, but cravings are definitely, I believe, your body crying out for something. You know,
there's usually a vitamin or a mineral in it.
Usually, like unless it's something like ice, do you know what I mean? That's like, I guess, a sensation that you want to feel or maybe it's dehydration.
But it is normal. Like I have, you know, women who are craving like a lot of dairy, that could be a sign that your body just needs more calcium.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing.
No, not at all. And definitely listen to them. Do you know, again, like that, if your body's telling you something, listen to it.
Yeah.
Because they're quite fascinating and it's kind of mind blowing, but it's telling you what you need, whether it's rest or food wise, you know, with the cravings or food aversions. Like if something is really like if you cannot even stand thinking about something, about eating something, it's telling you you don't need that at that particular time, you know.
Yeah, I went off coffee in the first trimester. I did both times, yeah.
Wow.
Completely. There you go.
It's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't that I was making an effort to just not drink coffee. It's like, oh, I just didn't want coffee. I just wanted a cup of tea. And then I didn't even want tea. And I went through a phase of wanting Ovaltine. I turned into an 80-year-old woman.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I just wanted Ovaltine. I was like, what? So bizarre.
Who are you?
I know. Who am I? So go with it.
Go with it. Absolutely.
It's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Then heartburn and gas, again, is something that's quite common. And then back pain. So lower and upper, it can really be affected. I think you said you had sciatica, didn't you?
I had sciatica first time round. Thankfully not this time. Now, I get the odd twinge, but nothing major. But I did. Yeah. And I was looking back over. I kept a really comprehensive pregnancy diary when I was pregnant with Cahill, and it was fantastic to read back over it.
Yeah.
The detail I've kept one this time around, but I'm not half as detailed. Actually,
you're brilliant. I didn't do that at all.
I got into the habit of doing it every day or every second day, and it was lovely to read back over it. But I was looking at it going, oh yeah, I really did. The sciatica kicked in fairly lively for me, like, you know, towards the tail end of the first trimester, and kind of was there until maybe the last few weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, that's full on.
And it wasn't comfortable.
And just to mention, like, any of these symptoms, you know, they're not necessarily just in the first trimester or just in the second. They vary for everybody and they can last the whole way through or they can last for a few weeks. So constipation, increased urination or discharge, growing belly and breasts, and the belly can cause stomach pain from ligaments just stretching, and it's not very nice. Skin changes. I did actually have itchiness in pregnancy on my skin, which wasn't very pleasant.
Some women have pregnancy acne, or you could also have that. What was it called again? Cloasma, is it? The mask of pregnancy, where you get the hyperpigmentation in your skin.
Oh,
I'm definitely far more freckly than ever.
That's right. Yeah. So your freckles can come out really strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nasal problems. Again, I didn't have that. Pelvic girdle pain is a big one, and it can start very early in pregnancy and last the whole way through. It can be, you know, it can start at 9 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever. It can start at any time.
And that's where sometimes like a belly band can help to support.
Absolutely.
And give you relief.
Yeah. And then leg cramps. I have there magnesium again, any kind of cramping. And varicose veins, not pleasant, but they're very real. Mine got worse. I had them anyway throughout my life. I have them genetically, but they absolutely got worse. Yeah, so they're kind of the main physical symptoms that you can expect. You might not get any of them.
But also as well, I suppose, is it physical or is it more, well, it's a combination, I suppose, of all, is your libido.
Yes.
It can go through an increase or a decrease in pregnancy, depending.
Mm-hmm.
normally, I would imagine for the first trimester, you're not really feeling it for a lot of women, no, especially if you're dealing with morning sickness. It's going to be the last thing on your mind.
Yeah.
But sometimes as we enter the second trimester, you can get a bit of a, it's when you feel more energized, not always, but for the majority of women, they can feel a little bit of a pep in their step. And with that may come an increased sex drive.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And some people find that they actually just get extremely up for it.
Yeah.
Come second or third trimester even, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other thing. But, you know, they say that sex for labour is great as well. And orgasms can be even better during pregnancy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bring it on.
So let's move on to our mental and emotional symptoms now.
Yeah. So like again, yesterday, two of the things that came back quite frequently were overwhelm, a feeling of overwhelm mixed with excitement.
Yeah.
Like this contradiction of like, I'm so excited, but also, oh my goodness, you know, the reality of it hitting. And then anxiety. So anxiety is quite common, I think, for everyone when they get pregnant. And that can be for first-time parents, for anyone who's suffered loss, as you know, with any underlying health issues, you know, any underlying or kind of mental health issues that you had previously that you felt that you may have dealt with can come back up again in pregnancy. And it's really, really important to mind them, you know, and to kind of really talk about it, to be very open about how you're feeling. If you do have any mental health issues that you had previously, like, you know, an eating disorder or depression or anxiety, it's really important to talk to your healthcare provider about it. So whether that's your midwife or your consultant, whoever, and to get some help with it.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's okay to get help with it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's important.
It's, I would say, imperative. Like, you know, your mental health throughout your pregnancy is really, really important.
Yeah, because if you're feeling vulnerable in pregnancy, when baby is born, it's a whole other ballgame.
Yeah.
And the sleep deprivation that comes with it and all of that will just magnify an issue.
Absolutely.
So actually being proactive through your pregnancy and saying, you know what, it's not a barrel of laughs. I'm not doing brilliant. And that's okay.
Absolutely.
Because there are plenty of people that will sail through pregnancy and find it the most empowering part of their lives ever. Mm-hmm. And for others, it is a source of huge stress and anxiety, as you said. And that's also normal.
It 100% is. You know, like the hormonal change is so big in our bodies, and we kind of don't really, like, you kind of just go through it every day, but it can bring so much with it.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, it's so true. Like, some people can feel the best they've ever felt in their lives when they're pregnant. They love their pregnancy body. Other people hate their pregnancy body, but feel ashamed to say that or feel guilty to say it because they're like, but I'm so lucky that I'm pregnant. Mm. You know, but it's really important to acknowledge those feelings, because it is okay to not love your pregnancy body.
Yeah.
But still love the baby that you're growing. You know,
absolutely.
And I think that's something that I definitely struggled with.
That's really important, because for some women, they feel at their sexiest when they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. And for others, they look in the mirror and, as you said, cannot make peace with the changes in their body.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they love their baby. That's OK. And that, you know, but they're struggling with the changes.
Yeah.
And that is OK.
Absolutely. And it's a really huge.
Important.
Yeah, it's a really huge feeling. And because I had an eating disorder when I was younger, totally recovered. But when the changes started happening in my body, I was like, oh my goodness, it feels weird. You know, it feels strange. It feels like it's not me.
And in the beginning as well, you know, it's not a case of a bump just appears straight away, but you get softer. Mm-hmm. It gets your tummy gets spongier is kind of the way I describe it.
Yeah.
You're a bit bloated.
Yeah.
So you're at this weird in-betweeny stage at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the bit that I think is hard. You know, for some people, because it's not, you're not defined as pregnant, because and also you may not have told anyone, you know, and you could have all these other symptoms going on that are really hard. So it's definitely a thing where you just, like you said, you get more womanly, you get more curvy, you get more the way we were intended to be, and that's kind of, you know, as I mean, like, obviously there's plenty of people who have different bodies and our bodies are all different.
Sure.
But just for pregnancy, yeah, and it's quite hard to come to terms with that.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
But to talk about it is really, really important.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Brilliant advice.
And then, so yes, with those hormonal changes come mood swings.
Really?
Yeah. No? No, you're perfectly so level all the time.
I was in a shop the other day. I wanted to get money out of the ATM in the shop, and yeah, it was on the blink, and I was running late, and I wasn't in great form, and I went up and I just bought a bottle of sparkling water, treat myself, and the guy, young guy, early 20s, said, "How are you today?" And I said, "Grand." I went, "Only grand?" And I swear, the look I gave him was like a death stare. Oh, and I walked out of the shop and went, "That was not me. That was not me."
No.
Who was that person?
Yeah.
I would normally always rise above and go, "What is his intention? He is being nice and friendly." And I told my partner when I came home, and I was like, "Oh my God, I was such a bitch."
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was just, I was wagging because I was in just foul humour.
Mm, I know.
Blame it on the pregnancy.
Blame it on the pregnancy. I know. And the other thing is that you I'm a very sensitive person anyway, so I take things very personally. I'm like, you know, really sensitive. But that like tripled when I was pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you know, things that people would say to me, I'd take it completely the wrong way and be oversensitive and, you know, kind of in bits about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sobbing.
Yes. I do that too. I also do the I have no tolerance.
Oh, yeah.
Which isn't brilliant now.
No, it's not.
But
I feel like I'm like that anyway, but it was just multiplied.
No tolerance for anything, yeah. Oh, no, I just, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like the poor guy in the shop.
Absolutely.
Right, so be aware that just blame it on the pregnancy.
But, you know, the other thing I will say, though, is that it's really important to talk to your partner if you have a partner or if you're doing it alone, to talk to the people around you, to talk to your support network about that and kind of be like, because I had so many times and I was just like, "I am so sorry, Chris. I'm so sorry I was such a bitch. That I promise you that wasn't me." Do you know? Now I'm still saying it. And he's like, you're not, like, kids are 4 and 2. I know. But yeah, no, it is really important to just talk about those things so that they're aware. Because you know what? I think that sometimes we think that they're mind readers, but they're not.
They don't know.
I know, it's shocking, Sheila. Shocking. But unless we actually spell it out and say, "This is how I feel," you know, they're not going to know. Or "This is what I need right now," or "This is what I don't need." You know, it's really important to have those conversations.
No,
and that's really good practice in pregnancy for when the reality comes with the baby.
Of course. No, I'm just finding this hilarious because you're obviously just pressing a lot of buttons at the moment with me, stuff that's going on.
Oh,
but
dear.
Yeah, look, it's important to recognize what is going on in your mind as well as the body.
Yes.
And that, you know, they are intertwined. So if you neglect how you're feeling, it'll come out in an outburst of tears or anger or whatever. So that's okay as long as you're expressing it. But getting to the point where you can actually say, "Oh, I'm struggling," before you have the meltdown is probably a good move.
Well, yes.
Again, note to self.
Yes, but also that's sometimes not possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And don't beat yourself up over anything. Another thing that is very, very important to talk about is post-traumatic stress disorder. And I would talk about any kind of trauma from previous births, which is really, really important, or any other traumatic events in your life. Some people go through trauma in birth and they just kind of, you know, they leave that birth feeling like, well, you know, "Oh, sure, look, I have a healthy baby in my arms." But that's not how trauma works, and it's really important to address the trauma. And sometimes what happens is it comes up when people find out they're pregnant for the second or third or fourth time. And that's, it comes to the surface again, and it becomes a big fear factor, and it can take over. So it's really, really important to deal with that trauma with somebody who is qualified to deal with birth trauma. There is a kind of a fear release for labor and, you know, traumatic birth recovery that you can do. And perhaps I can give you some details in the show notes, because there's a few people who I can absolutely recommend for that, because it's very, very common. And sometimes it's not like birth trauma. It can be a previous trauma in your life that you perhaps didn't deal with, and it can come up, you know, when you get pregnant.
Yeah.
So really, really important. Any kind of, if there's been any kind of sexual abuse or anything like that, that can very often come up in pregnancy with the idea of birth happening. So yeah, it's really massive, and probably worth a whole other podcast on its own, a whole other episode. But it's really, really important to deal with it and to kind of take it to the next level where you feel okay with it.
That was really good, I suppose, snapshot into all of the symptoms, physical, mental and emotional, that a woman can experience in those beginning stages of pregnancy. But they may fade away, or they may last, and it is completely unique to every woman.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's talk about, for me, what I found one of the, and I remember writing it in my diary, this is feeling a little overwhelming, the choice I had to make on, do I go for hospital? If so, which hospital? Am I going to go with, you know, the midwife-led way of doing things, or a consultant? And sometimes it's I don't know where to go or where to start.
Yeah, I know. And like for me, it blows my mind that this isn't something that is not like this isn't something that's done with your GP when you go. You know, I mean, I don't know. Again, it was very much a case of like, oh, well, you pee in a stick, you're pregnant, you go to your GP, do you know? And I mean, my GP was like, but sure, you did 2 tests. They're very accurate. You're definitely pregnant, do you know? So thankfully for me, he was able to give me some advice about, say, the domino scheme, which I'm going to talk about. But also another kind of thing that happens is that in Ireland, it's like, well, my sister had this consultant and so did my mom, so I'm going to go with them.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just a case of that's what they did, so that's what I'm going to do, as opposed to going, oh, OK, so these are all my options on the table. This is the one that is screaming out to me because it's definitely up my alley kind of thing. So birth options. Well, there's the hospital births. In that alone, you have the public sector. So the public sector is a great service. Absolutely great service. In that way, you'd basically do kind of your antenatal clinics in the hospital or in the community. You'd usually see a midwife on each visit, and then you'll see a consultant, usually a different one on each visit, depending on the hospital. And then the midwife will support you during labour, and the consultant kind of is there should there be any issues or any problems. And then postnatally, you can stay in the ward. I think it's 1 to 5 days, depending on how the labour has gone. Then you have semi-private. So in that situation, you and that's only, I think, only available in Dublin. But you attend semi-private clinics and see the consultant and his or her team. You may not see the same person on each visit. You may. And then the consultant or the team member may attend the birth, just depending on their availability.
Okay.
The fee is usually around €1,000. And private health insurance does cover most of it. Some or all of the fees. And then, like, postnatally, you'd have either a semi-private room if it is available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the private option. So that is you choose your consultant. You meet them at every appointment. They usually attend the birth, no matter what. And then you'd have a private room afterwards, again, depending on availability. And the cost of that is usually €4,000. Sometimes more, sometimes less, and a lot of health insurance companies cover it.
Or a good chunk of it, yeah.
A good chunk of it, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Then within the public sector, there are midwife-led clinics.
Yeah.
So midwife-led clinics are basically where you do kind of combined care between the hospital and your GP. Mm-hmm. So in Holles Street, it's the domino scheme.
Yes.
And then, so what you would do is, and that's what I did on my first, actually. So you do your, you don't have to go into Holles Street for your visits. They have kind of satellite clinics all around
Dublin. So this is the domino scheme.
This is the domino scheme, yeah. So you have, and once you're within the catchment area, you're, and once you're, you know, once you're not high risk, you can then be accepted into the domino scheme. If anyone's thinking about it, I would say get in touch with them straight away. Once you pee on the stick and you know that you're pregnant and you're thinking that you would like to go this way, call them straight away, because they only do a certain number, they only take on a certain number of patients a year. The combined care is, you know, you'd see your GP, and then the next visit you see your midwife. Okay, in the satellite clinic.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So it's like, for me at the time, I was living in Booterstown. I would go to St. Michael's in Dunleary for my midwife visits, and then I would go to the GP for the other visits. And they just,
why were they split up?
It's just every second one. So it's combined care between
every
your
second
GP.
One. Yeah. I get you.
Yes.
I get you.
So,
okay.
So that you're not, you know, you don't have to go into Holles Street all the time. You don't have to. They
so
basically,
it's more convenient.
It's really convenient. Yeah, really, really convenient. They very much a hands-off approach. They wouldn't. The only scan that they do is at 20 weeks. The anomaly scan at 20 weeks.
That's the only scan.
That's the only scan they do. So if you want to, you can do a private scan for your early one. So we did that, say, at about 11 weeks.
Okay.
Some health insurance will cover that. Some don't. So there's no consultants at all.
Yeah.
Unless there's an issue in birth, then they would call on a consultant and a team. But their whole idea is it's a hands-off approach. You'd be going for a pain relief free labour.
Yeah.
And they're like,
so is that a given, or is that an aspiration?
That's an aspiration.
Yeah.
They, you know, gas and air is available. But if you were thinking, no, I'll definitely get an epidural, they probably wouldn't take you on.
I get you.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know any of this, I'll be honest.
Yeah. I know.
I'd heard of the scheme, but I didn't know how it worked.
How it worked, yeah.
So this is really important info.
Absolutely. And so then the idea is.
Is it free?
Yes. It's public.
Totally
part of the
free.
Public service. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you go, the idea is you stay at home as long as possible before you come into the hospital for labour. So that you're, you know, when you get in there, you're kind of nearly ready to go as such.
Yeah.
Then you go into them. The midwives are there, but they very much let you do your thing. Unless there's an issue. Yeah. And they really, really do that.
And that's a good thing for those listening who find themselves pregnant for the first time. The idea that they let you do your own thing might seem a bit daunting, but, you know, as women who've gone through it, and what we share is that we've both had a drug-free birth experience, mm-hmm. being left to do your own thing is actually a real positive.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Limiting medical intervention or not having any at all, ideally, if you can, and allowing you to go into it and labour and do what is completely natural is a good thing.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, look, and that's if that's what you choose. You know, there's
of
no
course.
Like, my whole belief is that, you know, a positive birth experience is an experience that you walk out of feeling empowered, feeling listened to, feeling like you were in control of what happened, that you were, you, everything was explained to you, why they had to do something, why they didn't do something. That is the most important thing.
So completely.
Doesn't matter what your birth looks like. For me, that's what I wanted.
I know. And you're so right. Like, one of my pals elected to have a C-section. She had C-sections on both her kids. And I just say more power to her, because she just said absolutely wasn't even going to entertain the idea of labour.
Absolutely.
But this is what I wanted. And she had a wonderful birth experience.
Yeah.
She knew that the date was in the diary. Mm-hmm. That's what she decided to do. Mm. And she's two fabulous kids. And I just say, absolutely, do it. You know, we all have to make these decisions that are right for us.
And the thing I would say is that informed is best, you know, so getting the knowledge beforehand. I mean, I was eating information about labour and about
first time. I'm really not so,
no,
I'm a bit
you
rusty.
You don't need to as much second time. But as in this kind of thing, like, okay, you know, if this is even giving you an inkling of, oh, that sounds like I could definitely do that, go and read like Ina May Gaskin's Guide to Childbirth.
My favourite.
Yes. And like it can be a bit like, I remember even for me, and people would say I'm a little bit hippy dippy. Not really, but it can be a bit like
it's
that.
A good thing.
It's the dipping in and out of those really positive birth stories can just change your mindset for labour. And that's the most important thing.
Well, it can show you that it is possible.
Mm. Yeah.
If all these women who went before did it, why would you be any different?
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously, there's a whole heap of, you know, baby has to be in the right position. There's a lot of different ingredients that have to align.
Mm-hmm.
But you are well able.
Absolutely.
And we are stronger and more capable than we think.
The midwife-led care, they really do believe in that, and it's great. And the other side of that is the transfer home is 6 to 12 hours after labour, depending on how you are doing. So if there was any stitches or anything that needed, you know, maybe some extra care or something like that. But the idea is that you get home as soon as possible. So, so like on Daisy, when I had Daisy, she was born at 10 to 9 at night.
Yeah.
So there was no pediatrics around to give her the all clear to go home. So I had to stay the night. But like first thing in the morning, they were down. They had the pediatric look at her and our pediatrician look at her, and we were home in my bed at 11 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was amazing. Now, look, some people don't like that idea either. Some people like the idea.
Want the comfort blanket of being in the hospital, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, right now, the way things are and the maternity restrictions, which I won't talk about, but, you know, getting home to your partner, if you have a partner, or your support network, is like 100%, you know, the way to go.
Yeah,
So that's with the midwife-led care, that is part of it. So if everything's fine and you've had your baby and everything is fine and baby's okay and you're okay, you can be at home 6 hours later, you know.
So that was your first birth experience, and then your second, we won't go into huge detail, but your second then was a home birth.
A home birth.
So you've had two different birth experiences, which is fabulous.
I'm very lucky. And I say that, I say that, and sometimes I feel like I shouldn't say it, because, you know, again, you feel like you might upset somebody, and I may well, but like I did put an awful lot of work.
You have
into
to own
both.
It too. Do you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I do exactly what you did there, or what you do, and I do sometimes almost apologize for it or dumb it down or say I'm very, very lucky. But yes, luck plays its part, but there's also a huge amount of preparation, I feel, that goes into it, and then when you're in it. You're in it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And there is luck involved, as you say, for things like, you know, baby's positioning. And sometimes that just doesn't change. And therefore, the birth that you've expected or wanted can't happen. And that's a massive blow. You know, and that's a whole other thing, you know, dealing with stuff going against what you had planned in your birth preference list or whatever. But
And we will get into more detail on this very topic in later episodes. Mm-hmm. But for me, a huge thing that worked was not having a huge amount on the birth preferences and also being open-minded that what was going to be was going to be.
Yeah.
I was doing all I could to prepare as best I could. And then there was a lot of surrender involved because baby decides how they're going to come into the world.
Absolutely. And that's the thing.
And we can have great old plans, but sometimes that doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to say on the midwife-led care, like, so there's the Domino scheme in Hollis Street, but there's lots of midwife-led clinics around the country. So do check out. I'll give you a link for kind of all this information. There's a really good link on Ames Ireland.
Great.
For all the different things. And it's just really good. And then the last option is the home birth, like you just said. So home birth is an option. A lot of people don't believe or, you know, think that it's for the hippy dippy type. And I know I was lagging myself there saying that I was, but I really am not. And it is available to everybody. It's available to you. It's available to, you know, to everybody. There is the Domino scheme offer a home birth service once you're in the catchment area. The HSE offer, and that's free. The HSE offer a home birth service. Again, that's free. And you just have to basically contact the midwives, talk to them, figure out if you connect. And then the Private Midwives Ireland would take... The one thing about the Domino scheme and the HSE is they're quite bound by the hospital regulations, whereas the Private Midwives Ireland take on cases that might be in inverted commas high risk.
Okay.
So it's well worth checking them out. They are... you do have to pay for it. But again, a lot of health insurance companies cover it. The other thing I will say that's really important about all of this is that when you are choosing your care provider, it's so important that you love them.
Yes.
Because if you don't, it can completely change your whole birth experience. And you're at your very most vulnerable when you're giving birth. And if you don't trust the person in the room with you 100%, it can be game over, do you know?
Brilliant point. Brilliant point. A friend of mine who went to, I presume it was a consultant, and just wasn't feeling it. I went, nah, and then went a completely different direction and was so glad she did. Mm. And that's back to what you said at the beginning. It's following your gut instinct. Yeah.
And that heart, like that gut instinct starts from the moment we conceive.
Yeah.
And that's a real, like it leads me to this. So it starts from the very moment that we conceive. If at any point throughout your pregnancy, first, second, third trimester, it doesn't matter. If you get a niggle that something's not right, call the hospital, call the midwives, call whoever you can and get them to check you over, because it's niggling at you for a reason. It might be nothing, in which case that's absolutely brilliant. But if it is something, it's something that may well have been caught. And so trust that gut from the moment it starts.
I remember towards the latter end of my pregnancy with Cathal, I again had this feeling. And I got in the car and I drove in, and I drove in safely, but I do remember feeling like I got in there at the speed of sound. And in my mind, trying to calm myself and not worry. And it was simply that, you know, towards the end of your pregnancy, you should be aware of baby moving and counting those little kicks and punches that you're getting. And it had just been quiet and unnervingly quiet. So I went into the perinatal centre in the Coombe and they strapped me up and everything was fine.
Mm.
He was just that he was kicking to my back.
Yeah.
So I couldn't feel the kicks.
Mm.
And I kept apologising because it's a natural kind of a state. So a lot of people who know me know that I say sorry a lot.
Yeah.
And I kept and every single one of them stop.
Yeah.
You were right to come in.
Absolutely.
It's better that you came in than you didn't, because what if.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So never second guess yourself. And obviously I was so relieved. I was very fortunate that everything was fine. But, you know, don't ignore that. That's a really important thing to say at any stage.
At any stage of the pregnancy, and because like it's so powerful, it's so strong, and it goes the whole way through the like babies and childhood and everything. But listening to it, and one of our midwives said it at the very beginning with me, with the Domino scheme, and she said, if you ever have a niggle, call us. Never feel bad. We'll much prefer you to call and for it to be nothing, than for you to not call and it be something. The other thing that I would say is. Yes, about the birth prep and like, you know, these antenatal workshops and any kind of classes throughout pregnancy are so important. You know, I know it's been a big thing for people who are pregnant now who haven't had the opportunity to go physically to classes. But even if you can get to ones that are online, a lot of stuff is opening up now as well, which is great. And it builds a little community for you, you know, of people who are going to have babies around the same time as you. And that's really nice. And also to be able to go through symptoms with somebody who's going through the same thing and, you know, them to be like, oh, I know. Because as much as we remember, we also forget a lot.
Yeah, we do.
For a reason, you know.
I've forgotten so much.
I know. Yeah.
Really and truly, I have. Mm. I'm just like, where is that gone?
It's selective memory.
Selective memory. Yeah. So, yeah, it's important. And obviously, there are classes that can be provided by hospitals that are free of charge. But there's also ones that you pay for that are worth investing in as well.
I absolutely believe so. Yeah. Yeah. There's a load. And I'll put links. I'll send links over to you for the notes. But there's, you know, fear release for birth. There's VBAC, you know, vaginal birth after cesarean workshops, because that is something that is quite common as well. And really important to kind of talk about, you know, to know that a vaginal birth is possible after a cesarean section.
Yeah, great.
I could go on and on about all these different amazing people who do brilliant workshops, but I will send you all the links.
Okay, and we'll pop them in.
Yeah.
One of the things I found a little... Again, I wish I had known this was, I think I was at the 13 week mark.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant with Cathal, where, you know, a midwife in the coom went through my medical history, my health, you know, that of my family, that of my partner, and it went on a while. And I didn't quite know that that's what it was involved.
Yeah.
And I went home with like a huge folder, and I remember thinking, God, this is a lot to kind of take in one sitting. So just not to be frightened of that. That's normal. And everywhere is different. But, you know, being asked about your medical history is a good thing. It's a positive.
Absolutely. And it's good to mention it now so that people kind of can ask those questions to their parents. We don't ask those questions.
No, we don't.
You know, unless we're in a situation where we need to. But it's good to know that information before you go in. Really good point. Another thing that I would say is to contact a women's health physio throughout pregnancy, not just after. It's a really good thing to do just for them to make sure that everything is okay in the pelvic floor area. And also it's kind of to help us prep, because exercises that we can do, and I don't mean just doing, those, oh my God, the name has gone out of my head. Anyway,
Kegels.
Kegels, thank you. Yeah. Yes. Kegels, that, you know, to prep our pelvic floor for what's to come for labor and then afterwards, you know, pregnancy is a huge pressure on our pelvic floor. And if we look after it through pregnancy and postpartum, we can prevent a lot of issues with it later on in life. So it's really good to do that now while you're pregnant.
And again, we'll add that link into the show notes, and I probably need to contact them myself. no harm. And obviously, as well, there are plenty of different blood tests that can be done that perhaps you can investigate yourself to see if you would like to get done. But things like, you know, having a full blood count is important. Checking your thyroid levels is really important in pregnancy. I'm aware because I don't have a thyroid gland because I had thyroid cancer many years ago. So I have to supplement medication. But the great thing is I'm very on top of it, so it's fine. But, you know, for those who have maybe never got their thyroid checked, it's important to get it checked, because
really important.
You may need a bit of assistance with that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Things like you can go for... Harmony panorama test, or different names on them, where they check for any chromosomal issues in baby.
Yeah.
Again, it's a personal choice.
Totally.
Some women like to do it. I was one of those. Others don't. And and I know people who decided against it as well,
and
for their own personal
reasons. I think it's good. Yeah, exactly. And it's good to, like, when thinking about it, go, okay, is this information going to be beneficial to me? How am I going to deal with it? All that kind of stuff. So do the prep beforehand. I'm sure they help you with that. But yeah, exactly. It's important to just think of all those things.
And that's why I think I liked it, because for me, information is power.
Yeah.
And regardless of what I would discover.
Yeah.
I felt like, well, at least I'll know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I can prepare myself as best going forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to the dentist is something as well that you don't always think of, but no harm in, if you haven't done it before you conceive, to get it done early enough in the first trimester, just in case, because, you know, through pregnancy as well, naturally, baby is taking a lot of goodness from you. This is where your calcium and different minerals and vitamins are important as well, because some women's teeth weaken through pregnancy, particularly later on. So getting them checked, making sure there's no issues there is good, and doing it early is probably
definitely
a good idea.
It's a really good idea. Yeah. Totally agree.
Clothing wise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you feel?
I just couldn't get over the fact that every time I looked at a top, a pregnancy top, there are bloody stripes on it.
Oh, yeah.
They're all feckin' stripy.
The nautical theme.
Yeah. What is this? Are we all in Brittany? That's the Brett on top. I didn't get it. So I refused to buy the stripy top.
Okay. And how have you found it now this time?
Grand. Not buying a lot of maternity clothes, yeah. Just wearing bigger sizes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The schooner today is not maternity. It's just massive.
And of course. Yeah. No, but that's the thing. And so, it's whatever you feel comfortable in, you know. And
I do love a good pregnancy legging, though.
Oh, yes.
And there's a great Irish brand, actually. I'll link them in here.
Yeah.
They're brilliant.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Comfy.
Okay,
and
great.
Just worth getting at least one decent pair.
Absolutely.
That are opaque and comfy and will last you throughout your pregnancy. And then, of course, when baby is born,
you can't wear them.
You can still wear them.
Yeah.
So.
And there's the, you know, the options between under the bump and over the bump.
Yeah, I'm an over the bump gal. I like over the bump, but I know it's personal choice.
Mm, totally. Yeah.
I found extenders really handy in the early stages of pregnancy, where, and not just for the extenders for your bra, but also for your jeans.
Mm.
The ones where you can still wear your favorite jeans in the first number of weeks.
And get away with it.
And it's cheaper in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you can spend a fortune on maternity clothes. And yet, at the end of the day, you're only going to be pregnant for X amount of months.
And also, they only fit for a certain amount of time, do you know? Like, it depends.
So, I mean, look, there's a lot to do. And yet, in saying that, you can do all of these things or not. It's your choice. But I do think when it comes to preparing for what the pregnancy entails and childbirth, doing your homework, the earlier the better.
Yeah.
It's never too late.
No, it's never too late.
Never too late. But this quicker you get your mind in the zone. Now, I will say, I think I was in a kind of a state of denial until well into the second trimester before I started to really think of childbirth.
Yes. And it's funny, like, so a lot of people are like that as well and don't. I was like, oh my God, tell me everything. I wanted to know everything as quick as possible. And like, just like I kept watching videos and I was obsessed with it all.
Yeah.
But I get it. Like, a lot of people are like, no, don't want to think about that until the third trimester. And that's fine. Like, that's totally fine. But it's fine and it's not, in terms of depending on how you want to give birth or where you want to give birth.
So exercise.
Exercise, yes. So it's perfectly safe to continue to do any exercise that you were doing when you conceived.
Yeah.
You know, don't start, like, I don't know, doing weights.
If
you hadn't been doing them before. But if you've been doing weights up until the time that you conceived, then absolutely, it's perfectly fine to do it after that. And then listening to your body, like, if your body is like, no, I really don't want to go for a run, or no, I really don't want to go for a swim, just let it. Like,
absolutely,
just
yeah.
listen and say no and rest, you know.
Yeah. And rest is a massively
huge,
powerful tool.
Absolutely. Rest. The body is doing so much work. Listen to it and what it's telling you to, like, it is telling you to rest for a reason.
Can we go through quick enough the do's and don'ts of foods? Because again, I found, and I still do find, that I have to type it into Google.
Yeah.
Can I eat this? Is this okay?
Know.
You know, I would have avoided probably far more foods 4 years ago than I do now.
Yeah.
Because I would just been, you know, ultra cautious.
Yes.
You know, about certain seafoods and different things. But look, it's good to err on the side of caution, but don't beat yourself up if you have, you know, a prawn.
No, exactly.
You know, as long as it's well cooked, it's fine.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I'm a firm believer in kind of not changing up too much beforehand, apart from the things that are, you know, like unpasteurized milk or cheeses, blue cheeses, pate, food with raw or uncooked eggs, so like homemade mayo, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Cold or cured meats are not ideal. Raw fish, soft served ice cream, and then unpasteurized or mold ripened food products.
But again, if you have a 99, don't freak out.
No, absolutely not. And the whole thing is, it's all about the bacteria, listeria.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of fear. Like, I remember with Daisy, I had a deli sandwich. I used to love going to Donnybrook Fair for my lunch and getting like a tuna roll or whatever. And I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? No, it's fine. You're totally fine. I am very much a believer in, you kind of know yourself.
Yeah.
you know, like obviously stay away from the moldy cheeses and that kind of stuff and pate. But, yeah. But you know, with everything within reason.
So again, you just want to fuel your body as best you can. Treat mm-hmm. yourself as well, but just everything in balance.
Absolutely.
Everything in moderation.
And like that old thing, like you're not eating for two, you know, you're really not, or three or whatever, but you're not. Like yeah. you don't need the
as
extra.
As much as that, absolutely.
No, and
really
like in the first trimester, they say you don't actually need any extra calories. You yeah. know, and then in the second and third, maybe 200 to 300 more calories. But, you know, there is this whole, I know, but it can be of like really
I'm just
good
pulling
things.
A sad face.
I know, the sad face. She's giving me the bottom lip, lads. Yeah, no, but, you know, we don't like
I know.
Eat when you're hungry and but also treat yourself exactly like you said, like and have a healthy attitude to it. You know,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And health is the key.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Health is key.
Health is key. Healthy body, healthy mind, healthy baby, you know.
Yes. Okay, brilliant. You've covered so much there. Anything else before we let you go?
No, I think just try to enjoy it. As I said before, knowledge is power. Get as much knowledge as you can for whatever it is that you need to make yourself feel empowered going into your labour or before, you know, knowing which option you're going to go to choose, whether it's midwife-led consultant, whatever it is. And as I said before, you know, a positive birth experience is one that you feel empowered. And the only way you can do that is by having the knowledge, you know, yeah. and also to just talk about how you feel, because that's really, really important.
There was so much more we could have covered, but I hope you feel a little more empowered now as you progress through your pregnancy. Next week, we delve into the third trimester and try and prepare you as best we can for these exciting and often nerve-wracking weeks. You've been listening to Ready to Be Real Conversations.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.